continue in our study on the church, how Jesus builds it. We're going to be looking at study number 4 of 6, entitled Ministry to the Church. Ministry to the Church. All of this anchors back on that great promise. Jesus said, I will build my church. And that's what we want to understand and be a part of. The church and how Jesus builds it. Ministry to the church. This fourth study is a study concerning the function of the church. That is, what the church is to be doing. Now, ideally, always what the church is going to be doing should be fulfilling her purpose, which is making disciples. Well, part of making disciples is ministry to the church. That is the ministry of edification. In our next study, we'll look at the other aspect of making disciples, and that is ministry to the world. But ministry to the church. Now, these studies on the function of the church, the doing, the activity of the church, the action the church is to take, are really an elaboration on Ephesians 4:16. There we saw the body and the head relationship. From whom? From Christ the head. All of the body receives what they need and then share in that life that flows from Christ the head to the members of the body and minister that reality one to another. That's what we're looking at here. Ministry to the church that flows from Christ the head and out to one another as we edify and encourage. In the New Testament, there is a great area of truth on one another ministry, where one ministers to another and that other back to the one. Mutuality of ministry. This little phrase, one another, is one of the great phrases in the New Testament. Think of it. One another. It includes every single Christian, every individual person in the body of Christ, and their relationship to every other Christian. And every other Christian's relationship back to them and each to the other. One another. It's quite a simple but majestic term. It can include just two people, one ministering to the other and the other to the one. But you can stretch that out through every relationship throughout the body of Christ. It builds a great vision of ministry. Ministry to the church really is one another ministry. Ministry is for all, not just for a few. Not for the so-called professionals. In fact, professionalism is quite a scourge in the church world. It's not what God has designed. That doesn't mean that people don't have vocational Christian ministry. But still, that's a different thing from professionalism, where you just treat it like a job and some know how and some don't. And those who don't just kind of dole out the resources for those who do know how. That's the way the world functions. In the church, it's one another ministry. Whether we're called to lead, to follow, to help, to set the pace, to come alongside, we all have a place of ministry. Romans 15:7 lists one of those one another ministries. Years ago, the Lord caught my attention with this phrase, one another, and my own vision of ministry was quite transformed by it, really. And even how the Lord impressed my heart to lead others was impacted by this. Romans 15:7, one of the one another ministries as we minister to the church is the ministry of receiving one another. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. One of the simple but profound, effective ministries in the body of Christ is receiving one another. Doesn't sound that significant, but in the plan of God, it is very strategic. Receiving one another. That is, accepting, welcoming one another into each other's lives, opening ourselves up to relationships with others, receiving one another, not shutting each other out, not forming cliques. All of that is of the world and the flesh. In the body of Christ, we're to be receiving one another as Christ did. Christ certainly has received us, and He has done it graciously. He has done it sacrificially, receiving, and all of that to the glory of God. When we receive one another in this way, it brings glory to God, and it knits the body of Christ together. Simple ministry, but you know there are many people who have never been really received by others. They feel isolated, cut off, shut off, like nobody cares. Little islands of kind of agony and isolation. This simple ministry can change all of that. Sometimes the biggest impact we'll ever have on someone is receiving them into our life and relationship where no one ever had done that before. It's a great ministry. And the example, of course, is the way God has done that to us. God has received us. And my goodness, if God would receive people like you and me, who is there that we should shut off from our heart? Here's another one. Romans 12:10. Giving preference to one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another. We'll talk about that in connection with the next verses. With brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Let's think for a moment on this. In honor, giving preference to one another. It's sort of the attitude of you go first when it comes to blessing and honor. No, go ahead, you go first. Please, after me. That sort of attitude. In honor, giving preference to one another. Delighting that others be honored above us. Outdoing one another in showing honor. That is the opposite of the world. The world is me first. Hey, honor me. Hey, tell me how special, invaluable, important I am. Come on, please. I need it. In the church, we really want to say no to things like that, which is really no to self, death to self. And instead prefer one another in honor. Brother, sister, please, you first. You know, there's the opportunity, there's the blessing. I'd be delighted if you just step ahead first, you know. If there's no blessing left, that's fine. Just so you're blessed, you know. Giving preference to one another in honor. Here's another one. Ephesians 4, 32. Ephesians 4:32, being kind to one another. Now, a lot of these terms in the world of humanity, they sound kind of anemic. You're going to change lives, touch lives, build the church of Jesus Christ by being kind to one another? Yeah, there's power in that. Think of the world. There's not much kindness out there. People are used to being treated unkind, harsh, or neglected or ignored. We are called to be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. We'll look at that aspect of forgiving one another in a moment. Be kind to one another. Or as the previous verse, Romans 12:10, put it, kindly affection to one another with brotherly love. We're to be kind to each other. Be nice to each other. There's no place for rudeness in the body of Christ. Let's face it, sometimes there is rudeness in the family of God. A harshness, a kind of roughness, a disinterest. That's not nice. I guess you could put it this way. God is nice. His people ought to be nice. His people can be nice, you know. Just be kind to each other. Kindly affectionate with brotherly love. God is our Father. Jesus, our elder brother. They are kindness to the infinite degree. Just kind and nice and good and wanting to bless. We're the children of God. How do we minister one to another? If many Christians just set out by the grace of God in the name of the Lord and prayer and dependence on God just to be kind to each other, what a ministry they would have. People would be flocking to them to just taste some supernatural divine kindness. It's a great ministry. And again, it doesn't sound impressive from the perspective of man, but it's how God touches lives and knits the body of Christ. Just be nice to each other. And then, as that verse also mentioned, forgiving one another. This is a big one. Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Oh, the unforgiveness in the world. Grudges, vengefulness, remembering things, holding things against people. It's not to be that way in the family of God. We're to forgive one another, not hold things against each other, not let grudges build up in our hearts, not be plotting and planning for vengeance. That's the world. That's the flesh. That's the devil's way. We're to forgive each other as God forgave us. How did God forgive us? At His own loss and cost. It wasn't just a cheap thing. Well, we'll just forget about it. Yeah, it was forget about it with Himself bearing the agony. Jesus took our sin and guilt, our burden, our shame, our consequences in the eternal perspective upon Himself. God forgave us sacrificially, generously, at His cost and His loss. Well, that's forgiveness. And sometimes we don't want to forgive because it just seems too costly. Hey, they owe me. Hey, that hurt me. Hey, that brought great loss to me. How about our sin against God? What loss did that bring to God? The very death of His own dear Son, or there would be no way of relationship and salvation. So we're to forgive one another as God forgave us. And by the way, He forgave without taking it back. Did you ever forgive someone, and then as time goes on, you kind of regret it, you forgave them? And then as they continue to behave and relate in a difficult way, you think, you know, forget that. You're not forgiven anymore. I remember what you did. I'm now holding it against you again. That's not God. We're to forgive one another as God forgave us. Don't you sense how this can change lives? Can set apart a people different from the world? Oh, how hearts get knit when they forgive each other. That doesn't mean that consequences are swept under the rug. If there's someone in rebellion or they've violated the plan of God, we reap what we sow. And if rebellion hangs on, it doesn't mean that God's just going to not deal with them. But we're not God, and we're not to hold this vengeance or grudge in our heart. And especially when people come to us saying, would you forgive me? I was wrong. Oh, the flesh's temptation is to just, you know, work it in and stretch it out and crush them down. And no, just freely forgive, you know. It can be, it should be, our pleasure to extend forgiveness to others. My goodness, we've all been forgiven beyond measure. Who are we to hold back forgiveness to others? You know, it's a great ministry, forgiving one another. Here's another interesting one. Bearing with one another, Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another. We may not think of this as a ministry often, but it's a great one. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. A reinforcement there on forgiving one another. But the new issue in this verse is bearing with one another. Or forbearing. Think of this ministry. Just putting up with each other. Virtually all of us can eventually irritate every one of us. You know? If it hasn't happened, we probably just don't know each other that well yet. You know? And again, in the world, people don't bear with each other. That attitude, that word, you're out of here, or at least out of my life. In the family of God, we're to bear with each other, put up with each other. It's one of our ministries, one to another. It's part of the ministry to the church. Just putting up with each other. And not, I'll put up with you if you'll put up with me. It's, I'm called by the Lord to put up with you. I pray that He'll help you to put up with me. But whether you're kind of up to here with me or not, I want to put up with you. You know, again, it doesn't erase exhortation, admonishment, sometimes even rebuke. But it does exclude just shutting the family of God out of our lives. And it certainly would exclude just getting irritated over every little thing that comes up, you know? Letting distance develop over little irritations or idiosyncrasies or personality differences and all that. God wants us to bear with one another. Boy, He bears with us, doesn't He? Have you ever thought how He just hangs in there with us? We ought to all thank God that we're not God, or that those we know aren't God, you know? God just hangs in there with us. And we're to do that with each other. Just bear with each other. It's a great ministry. Here's another one. Serving one another. Galatians 5:13. Serving one another. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Well, that's a fascinating verse. It has a lot to do with the fact of liberty and the purpose of liberty. We've been called to liberty. In the world, we were just in bondage to sin and self, bad habits, bad attitudes, bad vocabulary, bad priorities, bad relationships. We were just in bondage. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been set free. Free from that. We don't have to have our lives dominated, dictated by such issues. But what are we free to do? We're now free to serve each other. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. There is freedom in Christ. One of the great freedoms in Christ is not only freedom from sin, but freedom from self. Freedom from living for self-advancement, self-pleasure, self-service. Yes, we've been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. That's the temptation. Hey, I'm free now. And yes, all things are lawful, but not everything is edifying. And serving self is not edifying. Serving others is edifying to them and to us. Letting God develop a servant heart in us. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Not I'm free to just indulge in any way I desire. That would create a new kind of bondage. Now we're free to do something we never really knew how to do in the world. And that is serve other people. Live for their blessing, for their benefit, for their encouragement, for their edification. Serving one another. Helping each other out. Available to meet needs. It's a great ministry. We have more to look at, but just reflect back on a few of these. Can you just see the vision of ministry? If the children of God would catch a vision like this, we're called to receive one another, give preference to one another in honor, be kind to one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, and serve one another. If we just function in these realms, oh, the mighty flow of life, because this is the way the Lord is. You know, the mighty impact of God in and through our lives, touching others, just to treat each other like this. How many of us, when we think of ministry, think of things like this? Too often we don't. And yet this is what ministry is about. There are more. In Galatians chapter 6, a word about bearing one another's burdens. Bearing one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the law of love. One way to love one another, bear one another's burdens. Virtually everyone has a load of burdens most of the time. Things at work, things at home. Failure in our own walk with the Lord. Unfulfilled or delayed vision or desire. I mean, there's just so many things that can burden our hearts. Perplexities, impossibilities. Disappointments, major surprises and changes of direction. I mean, there are all kinds of things that can burden you. If you have children, children are a tremendous blessing. But they have their moments where they can weigh down your heart, you know. In fact, parents know nothing can get heavier than a trial or a trouble or a failure or a wrong walk for a moment in a child's life. It's crushing. You know? There are just so many things. Financial pressures. Virtually anyone we look at anywhere undoubtedly has a very significant list of burdens that could just crush them if it was just them and the load and they had to carry it and deal with it. Sure, we're all to learn to cast our cares upon the Lord. But one way to bear one another's burdens is to help each other do that. You know? Remind each other of that. But not just remind each other, get right in there and pray with that person about that burden. Sometimes, by the grace of God, the strength of the Lord, put a loving shoulder under that burden. You know? Sometimes it's a financial gift. Sometimes it's a word of encouragement. Sometimes it's a, hey, can we come over and take your kids out for a Saturday afternoon so you can just have the first few hours of peace and quiet you've had in 4 months, you know? Bear one another's burdens. Listening to one another. Listening to one another, pouring out the agonies of our hearts so we might get in there and pray for each other. It's a great ministry. It can be entered into through concern, through prayer, through assistance. helping to carry the loads of life and of spiritual battle. Great ministry. Now these next two really go together. There are two that are heavy really on my heart in many ways through the years. One is called admonishing one another. The other is called comforting one another. And you notice in the outline, in parentheses, each has a subtitle. And each includes the word counseling. Admonishing one another, that's counseling one another with confrontation. Comforting one another, that's counseling one another with comfort. Through the years, this issue of how to counsel one another has been a big one on my heart. Pastoring 25 years, thereby thrown into hundreds upon hundreds, who knows, thousands of counseling situations. Studying it in the Word of God, teaching it, and then going out some years ago to teach Counseling God's Way seminars and all. To me, this is a critical issue in the Church of Jesus Christ. Counseling is a ministry we all need constantly. And counseling is a ministry we're all called to enter into consistently. Counseling one another. It's a major matter in the Church of Jesus Christ. The trend in the church world is to do it man's way. Do it with the wisdom of man, you know. Historical insight, sociological insight, anthropological insight, and especially, of course, above all and in all, it seems like dominating all, psychological insight. And the theories of man. It's not God's way. God's not pleased with that. That interferes with what the Lord wants to do. Let's look at this one in Romans 15:14. Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident, brethren, concerning you, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Able also to admonish one another. That phrase, admonish one another, it's one of the two very strategic New Testament biblical terms that could be translated counseling one another. In fact, in the Williams translation, this admonishing one another, able to admonish one another, is translated competent to counsel one another. The term is nutheteo, literally to bring to mind. To bring to mind by bringing an issue right up before someone. It has to do with confrontation. In fact, Dr. J. Adams coined a phrase here, nuthetic counseling. He's quite a gifted biblical linguist. He couldn't find a good English word. He thought captured that whole phrase of nutheteo. So he just kind of transliterated Greek to English, made a word, nuthetic. Confrontation, bringing to mind, bringing before someone. The Scripture tells us we are competent to counsel one another in this matter of confrontation. Admonishing, that is, warning. It's so needful at times. Counsel by warning has pretty much disappeared, it seems, from much of the church world. Warning about anything. Warning about false teachers. Warning about error and false doctrine. And warning in personal relationships where there's error or need of change. It's part of our ministry one to another. Some of us might not particularly like that ministry. Personally, I'm not enamored with the warning ministry. Yet, seems like God has sent me out to do a lot of that, you know. Maybe that's the safest way. If you don't get high on admonition, maybe that's good, you know. So you're not just looking for somebody's face to get in, you know, and point a finger at them and yell at them. But nonetheless, we need to do it. And at times we need it. Confronting one another. Warning, saying, there's a problem. And the Scripture says, we are competent to do this with one another. Really, it's taking the law of God and applying it where there are issues of either transgression or digression or rebellion. And that's what the law is for. But this other issue of comforting one another, counseling with comfort, this is the other profound New Testament word that can be translated counseling. The term is parakaleo. Two little words, para, alongside, and kaleo, to call, to be called alongside. It's the counsel where you sit down and put your arm around someone. Called alongside to comfort, to encourage, to help. Consoling. This is a strategic part of ministry at times. One of the great battles so many face so often is discouragement and a lack of comfort. Oh, how often we need to come alongside each other and comfort each other. The battle gets heavy, discouragement strikes, difficulty and affliction. What do? Comfort each other. Just come alongside. Oh, what a ministry that is. Personally, that's one I like a lot. I love to come alongside a hurting, troubled, discouraged saint and just put the arm of the Lord around him, you know? The Lord loves you. He's with you. He's for you. He's able. Let's look to the Lord for encouragement. It's a great ministry. Counseling one another, sometimes with confrontation, sometimes with comfort. This last one, comfort, has much to do with the grace of God. Counseling each other out of the grace of God, out of God's resources. Not just God's forgiveness, that's part of His grace, but His resource to change lives, to transform us, to enable us, to bring us what is needed. It's a great ministry. It's a great ministry one to another. In the last few decades, the Church of Jesus Christ has relegated the counseling ministry pretty much to, quote, the experts. Who are the experts? Well, some in the church think the pastor is the expert. I was a pastor 25 years. Let me tell you, we're not the experts. We're learning too. We don't have all the answers. Yes, we're to be under shepherds, following the chief shepherd and calling, here's the path, here's his word, let's go after him. But we don't have all the answers. So we need more than just pastors counseling in the church. But what the church has done, we've sent them off to the ones trained in the world with wisdom of man about man. The thinking is this: if you're going to help man, you've got to become an expert on man. Well, the great fallacy in that is this: man can't even know his own heart. It sort of sounds like we have no recourse. Oh no, all this shuts us up in one direction. In the kingdom of heaven, there is an expert, God, the Lord God. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. How does He counsel us? Right through His Word. And that's how we're to counsel one another. This alone could bring a great spiritual revival to the Church of Jesus Christ. If we'd stop looking, on the one hand, to the religious experts, on the other hand, to the psychological experts, and just start looking to the expert, all of us, and then what we find in Him, in His Word, minister to one another. If we see someone in need of warning or confrontation, in the name of the Lord, in the love of the Spirit of God, go to such a one. Confront them, not in meanness or nastiness, but with a point to restoration and wholeness, transformation of life. If we see someone discouraged, broken, fearful, despairing, Come alongside them. What it is ministering the law of God and the grace of God, really. The law for the rebellious, the grace of God for the humble and broken. What an explosion of ministry could take place in the body of Christ if we were just willing to counsel one another. Can we do it? Well, Romans 15, 14 says we are competent to counsel one another. How so? Because we can be those full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. How can that be so? Well, none is good but God alone. The more we get to know the Lord, get into the Lord, let the Lord live in us, His goodness becomes our resource, and we can be full of goodness. How about knowledge? Oh, we don't know anything that matters, but He knows everything that matters. We get in the Word, get to know the knowledge of the Lord, and we can be filled with His knowledge. Our competency comes from our relationship with Him and our growing with Him in His Word. And then out of that full resource of the Lord, we minister that to one another. It's a great vision of ministry. Yes, some have the spiritual gift of counseling. I think that's Romans 12:8, called exhortation. The word there is parakaleo, counsel by comfort. Some have the spiritual gift of counseling. They'll do more of it and be more effective in it. But we can all counsel one another. I'd rather sit down with a dear grandfather in the Lord with no formal training of any kind, but he's full of the goodness of the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord, and he'll counsel from the Word, than to go to the greatest worldly or Christian or religious expert around. I think that's the way the Lord designed it. The comforting one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We've been talking about it. This is one of the places that's given in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another. We'll look at the edification in a moment. Comfort one another. Console, encourage, come alongside. These are great ministries. Counseling with confrontation when necessary. Counseling with comfort wherever there's opportunity. This second half of 1 Thessalonians 5:11, another great ministry, one to another, and edify one another just as you also are doing. The church at Thessalonica, they had this vision of ministry. They were edifying one another. They were not leaving the edification ministry to one or just a few. They were edifying one another. One building up the other building up the one. No one has it all but God Himself. We receive from the Lord that which He offers, and we pass it on to each other. Thereby, all of us able to edify each other. It is the will of God that we not only be born again, forgiven of our sins, but that we grow, develop, and get built up. Many, many Christians aren't growing. They aren't being edified. Too many are not stronger this year than they were last year. It doesn't need to stay that way. Well, how is this to take place? Each being willing to minister to the other things from the Lord that build up. Edify one another. Strengthen each other. Help each other to grow in the Lord. It's the Lord's way. One more to look at. Loving one another. This is the pinnacle of it all. In fact, if we're doing this, the others will just flow naturally out of this. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. We're called to love one another, and the word is agape, that kind of love, agapao. It's a love not stirred by the object. It's a love supernaturally imparted in the giver. It's not a love that comes from, oh, you're just so lovable. I just feel drawn to love you. That's a blessing when we find that in the saints that draw love out of our hearts. That's great, and that can happen because God's at work in their lives. But that isn't always the case. Sometimes those who need the ministry of love the most are the least lovable. We're not to go around the body of Christ looking for spiritual teddy bears to hug, you know. I mean, that's fine. That's a blessing, you know. There are those you just can't but love them, you know, because God's working in them, and they just draw love out of your hearts. But how about those that you sort of get the opposite reaction, you know? You see them, and you're not thinking of hugging. You're thinking of shrinking back, or you're not thinking of sitting down with them. You're thinking of, is there a way to depart? And yet they need love, and the love they need is available. It's not one we pump up, it's one we receive from above. Love one another. Divine love. Sacrificial love. Not motivated by its object, but imparted from its source. God is love. Those who love, they're born of God. They know God. They found that love in God. Loving one another. It involves desiring God's best for one another. It involves exercising God's best towards one another. Loving one another. It's a tremendous ministry. May God give us a vision of it. One another ministry in the body of Christ. It's how we can minister to the church. Through the years, when the Lord had me pastoring in two different churches for those 25 years, many times folks would come to me and say, I need ministry. I want ministry. I desire to serve the Lord. And I could tell as the conversation developed, they were hoping or anticipating that I would appoint them to ministry or say, well, here's a way you can serve. Hey, we need another usher. We need some help in the office. We need someone in the outreach team. We need someone to help in the men's prayer ministry. And that's fine. We can help one another into places of ministry. But really, in many ways, appointed sort of ministry in position or place or role in some ways is somewhat limited, you know? I mean, how many ushers does a church need? How many prayer group leaders does a church need? You know? If you have prayer groups and a prayer leader and there's 15 or 20 people in that group, you only maybe need one or two of them to lead it. I mean, how many places of appointed ministry are there? There are plenty. But if only appointed position and role of ministry were the ministry opportunity, the vast majority of the saints would go without ministry. Well, that's not equal to ministry, having a role, an appointment, a place. But this is ministry for everybody. So often through the years, folks would ask me, you know, I want to serve the Lord. Pastor, I need a ministry. And many, many times, I would open my Bible, read three or four of these one another ministries, and say something like this, okay? Here's the word of the Lord for us about ministry. Here's ministry. Receive one another. Give preference to one another. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Bear with one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Admonish one another. Comfort one another. Edify one another. Love one another. Brother, sister, there's your ministry. I mean, that's a full-time ministry. If we set out every day to serve like that in the body of Christ, we would be inundated with opportunity. I mean, this is full-time Christian service. And every saint can do it everywhere they find any other saint. Every one Christian can function in all these ways. toward any other one Christian they find anywhere. You can do this Sunday morning at church. You can do it in a home Bible study. You can do it to a next door neighbor or a Christian down the street. You can function like this with someone over lunch or a cup of coffee. We can do these things on the phone. You can do them in letters. Yes, you can get on the internet and do these things. I mean, what adaptability of ministry. No one in the body of Christ needs to feel there's no opportunity of service. Every one of us is called to these, whether we have a role, an appointment, an assignment, or an official capacity or not. One another ministry is often overlooked. Many times it's undervalued. It just seems too insignificant, too informal. Ah, that's an undervaluation of it. God obviously thinks these things are important. He put them in His Word. They're part of His will. But here's another thing. Very often, one another ministry is undercultivated. It's just not developed in the family of God. And where it's missing, the body is anemic. Where it's taking place, the body is thriving. It's a simple vision of ministry, but it's a powerful vision of ministry for every believer. But don't forget, the resource for this vision and this ministry must flow from Jesus Christ the head. In all of these areas of functioning, what the church is to be doing, we do not want to ever lose sight of the source from whom it all flows. Back to Ephesians 4:16, back to Colossians 2:19, from whom the whole body, everything that every Christian needs must flow from Jesus Christ the head. It's wonderful to have this vision, but this is not just a list of things to do. It's actually a description of life ultimately flowing out and touching people. And if we want to have real impact on others, it's not just, I'm going to try to act kind, or I'm going to try to exercise a word of comfort. Rather, I'm going to hold fast to the head in whom all these realities abound. I mean, this is how Jesus treated people. This is who He is. I'm going to hold fast to Him. I'm going to ask Him to fill me with His presence and His reality and His resources. And as I reach out to others, that His reality in my life would pour out and touch them in these ways. I think that brings the nature of the church, the purpose of the church, and the function of the church all together in living reality. And that's the way the Word of God does it. May God stir us with a vision for this. No matter what other kind of ministry He gives us, by appointment or more formality or a role or a relationship to sustain, may this really be what is flowing in and through all of it. And the wonderful thing is, this abounds in Jesus Christ the head. Let's pray together. Lord, we lift up Your people. We lift up our hearts and lives. Lord, give us a large vision of one another ministry, a rich vision, a flowing and abounding vision of ministering one to another. Lord, so many of Your dear saints are not mobilized in ministry to the church. Lord, thereby the edification aspect of discipleship is suffering in many places. Lord, work in hearts and lives. Let us be a part of just a reviving, a sharpening of vision, and a participating in what You have to bring it to pass. Lord, You've left us here as Your people to make disciples. And we see that this will involve building each other up. Give us the heart for it, the grace and strength for it, and may we bear much fruit in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.